You are listening to an ADIS podcast.
Welcome to this podcast with Christian Soot and Mikko Koskinen, who will be talking about their article, Clinical Pharmacokinetics of the Androgen Receptor Inhibitor Darolutamide in Healthy Subjects and Patients with Hepatic or Renal Impairment, published in the journal Clinical Pharmacokinetics. Please can you start by briefly introducing darolutamide?
Darolutamide is a second-generation androgen receptor inhibitor that is highly potent and structurally distinct from other androgen receptor inhibitors that have been approved for prostate cancer, namely enzalutamide and apalutamide. It is approved for the treatment of non-metastatic castration-resistant prostate cancer at a dose of 600 mg orally twice daily, taken as two 300 mg immediate-release tablets together with food. Regulatory approval was based on the results of the phase 3 ARAMIS trial, in which darolutamide significantly reduced the risk of death, prolonged the duration of metastasis-free survival, and was associated with a favorable safety profile when compared with placebo. The drug is a mixture of two pharmacologically equipotent diastereomers, a one-to-one mixture of SR darolutamide and SS darolutamide, which we will describe in more detail shortly.
Why was this research undertaken?
In clinical trials, patients are carefully selected with few confounding factors aside from the condition being investigated. It is important to understand the pharmacokinetics of a treatment, first of all, in a homogeneous, more healthy population, and secondly, in patients with comorbidities to represent the wider range of patients likely to be receiving it in real-world clinical practice. We have therefore undertaken analysis of darolutamide in healthy volunteers and in non-cancer patients with severe renal impairment or moderate hepatic impairment to fully characterize the pharmacokinetics of darolutamide in a broader population and to understand the impact of renal and hepatic impairment. This analysis will help physicians to understand the pharmacokinetics of darolutamide to support safe and efficacious drug dosing.
Please can you briefly describe the research settings?
We analyzed blood and urine samples from participants in three phase 1 clinical studies, all conducted in healthy men or non-cancer patients. One study was designed to assess darolutamide absorption, distribution, metabolism, and excretion. It involved six men who received a single oral dose of 300 mg darolutamide taken as a tablet on an empty stomach and simultaneously administered intravenous microtracer dose of C14 labeled darolutamide. Further, six men received a single oral dose of 300 mg C14 labeled darolutamide as an aqueous propylene glycol solution. A second study allowed to assess the pharmacokinetics of darolutamide after single and repeated dosing in 15 healthy men who received an oral dose of 600 mg darolutamide 30 minutes after the start of a standardized meal in the morning of day 1 and then twice daily on day 4 to 7. The third study involved 10 healthy volunteers, 9 patients with moderate hepatic impairment, defined as child PUB, and 10 patients with severe renal impairment, defined as estimated glomerular filtration rate less than 30 mL per minute and body surface, and who were not receiving dialysis. None of the participants had cancer, and all received a single oral dose of 600 mg darolutamide 30 minutes after the start of a standardized breakfast.
How quickly is darolutamide absorbed and eliminated?
In healthy subjects who received a single oral dose of 300 mg as a tablet under fasting conditions, darolutamide was gradually absorbed, reaching the maximum concentration after 3.5 hours and declined with a mean terminal half-life of around 15 hours. Following administration of a single oral dose of 600 milligram with food, the maximum concentration was reached a bit later, after approximately 6 hours. The mean terminal half-life was similar at around 12 hours. The relatively short half-life means that the darolutamide dose can be easily adapted if required, for example, to manage adverse events or in patients with renal or hepatic impairment.
Is the bioavailability of darolutamide affected by food?
In healthy volunteers, the absolute bioavailability from the tablet formulation was approximately 30% when taken under fasting conditions, and 60 to 75% when taken with food. The same food effect was seen whether participants consumed a high-fat, high-calorie breakfast, approximately 50% fat and 800 to 1,000 calories, or a lighter meal, as shown in a Japanese study in which patients had a typical Japanese breakfast of approximately 500 calories and 22% fat. The prescribing information for darolutamide therefore recommends administration with food to help achieve higher drug exposures. It is worth mentioning that while the absolute bioavailability of darolutamide following administration of a tablet under fasting condition was 30%, darolutamide was completely bioavailable following administration as an oral solution. This indicates complete absorption and high permeability of darolutamide, and that first pass metabolism does not play a significant role.
Is the pharmacokinetic profile of darolutamide affected by repeated dosing?
After repeated dosing at 600 milligrams twice daily taken with food, darolutamide exhibited predictable pharmacokinetics in healthy volunteers. With twice daily dosing, trough concentrations of darolutamide reached steady state levels within 1 day, and doubling of exposure was seen at 4 days. The mean area under the curve was similar after single and multiple dosing, indicating linear pharmacokinetics.
As you explained at the start, darolutamide exists as a mixture of two diastereomers. How have these studies contributed to our understanding of the properties of these diastereomers?
The two diastereomers, SR-darolutamide and SS-darolutamide, interconvert via the major circulating metabolite ketodarolutamide. And all three compounds have similar pharmacologic activity in vitro. The current studies in healthy volunteers show that the ratio of SR darolutamide to SS darolutamide changes from 1:1 in the administered formulation to favor SS darolutamide. After single and multiple dosing, the ratios of SR darolutamide to SS darolutamide in the plasma were approximately 1:5 and 1:6, respectively. This change is likely due to more rapid elimination of SR darolutamide, which has an effective half-life of around 5 hours compared with over 14 hours for SS darolutamide and a threefold higher clearance following intravenous administration. The prolonged half-life and lower clearance of SS darolutamide is due to the preferred formation of SS darolutamide from ketodarolutamide. Nevertheless, both diastereomers exhibit the same physicochemical, pharmacologic, and toxicologic properties, and thus we consider them to contribute equally and interchangeably to the efficacy and safety of darolutamide. We have characterized the diastereomers in more detail in an article in Drug Metabolism and Disposition, first author Päivi Taavitsainen, published in June 2021, if the listener is interested in further information.
Apart from the more rapid elimination and higher clearance of SR darolutamide, did you observe any other differences in pharmacokinetics between the diastereomers and the ketodarolutamide metabolite?
Overall, the pharmacokinetics of the diastereomers and ketodarolutamide generally followed similar trends to each other and were linear and predictable after single and multiple dosing. Peak concentrations of the diastereomers and ketodarolutamide were reached within 4 to 6 hours after single or multiple dosing. And the effective half-life of SS-darolutamide was similar to ketodarolutamide, although, as explained, it was shorter for SR-darolutamide. However, eventually, the elimination rate of SR-darolutamide approached that of SS-darolutamide and ketodarolutamide with an elimination half-life of 14.5 hours, likely as a result of back formation of SR-darolutamide from ketodarolutamide. After administration of an oral dose of darolutamide, plasma concentrations of ketodarolutamide were measurable at the same early time points as the parent compound, indicating that formation of the metabolite was rapid.
What have we learned about darolutamide exposure from the study in non-cancer patients with renal or hepatic impairment?
In patients with severe renal impairment, darolutamide exposure is increased 2.5-fold. In those with moderate hepatic impairment, darolutamide exposure is increased approximately 2-fold. Thus, patients with prostate cancer who have severe renal impairment or moderate hepatic impairment may benefit from a darolutamide starting dosage of 300 mg twice daily, which should provide exposure within the range to achieve effective disease control. In a population pharmacokinetic analysis of patients in the phase 3 ARAMIS trial, mild or moderate renal impairment and mild hepatic impairment was not found to affect darolutamide exposure, and thus no dose adjustment would be necessary in these patients.
In summary, how has this research improved our understanding of darolutamide and its use in clinical practice?
In the current studies, darolutamide showed predictable linear pharmacokinetics and sustainably high plasma concentrations when administered orally with food at the recommended dosage of 600 mg twice daily. We believe that this profile should ensure constant inhibition of the androgen receptor signaling pathway in patients with prostate cancer. Darolutamide exists as two diastereomers which rapidly interconvert via the major metabolite ketodarolutamide and appear to contribute equally and interchangeably to the efficacy and safety of darolutamide. Darolutamide exposure appears to be slightly lower and effective half-life was shorter in healthy volunteers than in patients with prostate cancer, but the difference is not clinically relevant and there is a large overlap in values. The results indicate transferability of the current findings in healthy volunteers to patients with prostate cancer. There's no impact of mild hepatic impairment or mild or moderate renal impairment on the pharmacokinetics of darolutamide. Moderate hepatic impairment and severe renal impairment may increase the exposure of darolutamide, which can be managed by reducing the starting dosage to 300 mg twice daily. Our findings add to the evidence based on darolutamide pharmacokinetics, which includes previously reported analyses of Caucasian and Japanese patients with prostate cancer.
Thank you to Christian Soot and Mikko Koskinen for this interesting discussion. Please read the full article in Clinical Pharmacokinetics for further details.
You are listening to an ADIS podcast. You can listen to more podcasts by subscribing to ADIS podcast with your preferred podcast provider or by visiting the journal website. For a full list of declarations, including funding and author disclosure statements, please read the article on the journal website.